And I want to talk about a relationship with God. A relationship. It means it equals to a marriage. How many of us married in here? Married in here. A relationship is being defined as marriage. But it's also defined as this. A connection. Are you in a relationship with God? Are you connected to God? Tim talked about it in our community. I was just blown away. I'm like, man, this guy read my notes or something up in here. But are you connected to God? See, you can talk it. You can even pretend it. But are you really connected to God? Are you? See, because your life will reveal your connection. And what does it mean to be connected to God? What does that mean? You know, I love what the deacons did last week and the lesson they taught. And they're going to come back when the men meet with just the men. Sour and Dan are going to teach the men more on the things they talked about and how we can put to practice being having a relationship with God and being in awe of God. You know. And Rochelle's going to talk and teach the women on how, again, that relationship with God. I'm looking forward to us really going after that. We got to be careful that there's a lot of things that goes on around us that will cause us to be disconnected to God. Unplugged. And we must not allow those things to unplug us. We must stay connected to God. And what I'm going to talk about, it's going to be a 2-3-week series. And I'm going to be looking at, amazingly, listen to this. I'm going to be looking at Jacob, his relationship with God. And I'm going to look at David. Remember what he said at communion? I said, this man, look at my notes. David's relationship with God. And then, oh my God, I'm closing out with Jesus. The ultimate relationship with God. And that's what we got to have. And these men can teach us. We got to learn from them. Because David and Jacob was definitely not perfect. See, that's why I like to use others along with Jesus, because people like to say, well, Jesus was perfect, but David and Jacob was nowhere near perfect. And you're going to see their relationship with God. Then you can look at Jesus. What made Jesus stay so perfect was his relationship with God. And that's why it's very important that we grow in that. Amen. Guys, there's a lot of things that's going to happen to us in our life that can disconnect us from God. And we must now allow that disconnect. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to disconnect you from God. As teenagers, your life is a mess. Absolutely, 100% a mess. Single adults, your life is a mess. Absolutely, 100% a mess. Married, your life is a mess. 100% a mess. The only thing that cleans it up is God. And we must recognize that. We need God. See, the teen thought I was picking on them like, oh, our life a mess. No, we're ours too. The difference between a lot of us is that those who recognize it is motivated and use God to clean it up. Those who don't recognize it stay a mess. They just stay a mess. And so I don't want you to stay a mess. You got to allow God to clean it up. You know, you're as close as you want to be to Jesus as you want to be. He say, I appreciate Tim talking about that. You know, Vanita read that in the book one day, and she said that, man, I just took off with it. That just knocked the socks off me. You're as close as to Jesus you want to be. And that's just the truth. You do the things that you want to do whenever you want to do them and however you want to do them. It's up to you. God is free will. Absolute. God does not make us love him. It's our choice. Just as a church, we are free will. Because that's what God says. I strive to imitate what God teaches us. He teaches us free will. That's why people can come and go as they will. God says the accountability and judgment will start first with who? The house of God. The church. People who claim to be Christians. God said, I'm going to start with you. I'm not even worried about those who don't claim me. They're already going to hell. I'm going to deal with those who claim they have me. but yet do not have me. Judgment starts with them. And that's why it's vital that we have a relationship with God. Because we can't be sitting here being a $3 bill. How many ever seen a $3 bill? It's fake and phony. Are you fake and phony? Don't be that way. I'm sure anybody show you a $3 bill, trust me, it's fake. Know that it's not real. If somebody show you a $100 bill with your face on it, know that that's fake. There's no $100 bill with your face on it. You got to be able to identify the fakeness that's around you. But identify it because you're standing with God. Don't try to identify something when you're not standing with God. That's why the scripture talks about remove the plank out your own eye so that you can see the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye. It always starts with us first, a relationship with God. You know, a lot of us have had tragedy in our lives, haven't we? Tough times, struggles. Anybody ever had a financial struggle? I know I have. Anybody had to have car struggles? Man, boy, yeah, I'm telling you, I want to blow my car up one time, man. Me and Vanita on the interstate going to church on a Wednesday night on what's that loop around Dallas? I-35? Was that the loop I-35? 6:30. I'm minding my own business, happy going to church. Got a baby in the car, and the car just went boom, 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 boom. And he looked at me and said, "Man, I think our car just died." I said, "Man, it's about to be dying." And the steering wheel got tight. I'm like, "What in the world? We on the interstate." I'm trying to get off the road, pulled off on the interstate just in the nick of time. It's 6:45 now. Church starts at 7:30. I'm one of the preachers. Guess what? We didn't have cell phones back then. None. Some guy, an angel, pulled over behind me and said, "Man, can I help you?" He said, "I got somebody who told you, and we'll help you get to church." I made it just in a nickel time. I left that car. In fact, I told him, I said, "You know what? Call the tow truck, leave that car there, just get my family to church." He said, "Okay." We jumped in the car, but he dropped me off to church. I worry about the car the next day. Guess what happened the next day? Somebody hit that thing and totaled it on the side of the road. It was on the side of the road. I go out and they say, "Where's my car?" Call the police, it's gone. It's been hit and totaled. Now I have no car. I'm like, what is Satan trying to do to me? But trials come that way. I know that I'm not the only one that ever happened to. Preferably not. The brother said, you go through, your brothers go through to also in the kingdom. But where my point is, that did not hinder my relationship with God. I still made sure I got where I was supposed to go. I still made sure I read my Bible and prayed. I still got on my knees and trust God. There's many things that happened to me that really got me back focused on God, that didn't take me away from God. And you got to, this year, guys, you got to get conviction that no matter what goes on around you, it doesn't unplug you from God. You got to stay plugged in because things are going to happen. I never forget, I got a call that my father had died. Now, I got to remember, I hadn't seen my father in years. In fact, my father never claimed me as a son. So I get a call from his brother's girlfriend. Now, the family did not call me. His brother's girlfriend called me, said that they want me to come to the funeral. Now, I'm thinking, okay, now, if you want me to come to the funeral, why is not the family calling me and telling me to come to the funeral? But somebody's girlfriend calls me and tells me that they want me to come to the funeral. So my spirit told me something right then. This don't add up. So I said, okay, I go. I call my mom. I said, "Mom, you know, I didn't call him dad because that would hurt my mom's feelings. That's a whole nother story. I said, "You know, Dolphus Peppers died. And I got a call from somebody." He said, "Oh, yeah, yeah." She said, "Oh, yeah, I was going to call you." "Oh, you was going to call me. Okay." They invited me to the funeral. "Son, if you want to go," you go, "Well, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to pay some respect." I get somebody to go with me. I got Dan and Veronica. I get them to go with me. I pay some respect. They invited me. And then my sons, my kids wanted to go. Now, Brittany, I think, was like 16 at the time, 16, 17. I thought she could handle it, but I didn't know what I was getting into. So I didn't want her to go. But she asked. My lovely daughter asked to come with me. I told her no. Michael didn't ask me to come with me. Brittany asked. Michael didn't ask. Brittany asked. Michael didn't ask. Make sure y'all understand that. This is what my son tells me. Brittany, Dad, I got you. I'm here for you. Can I go with you? No, sweetie, I don't want you to go. It's okay. Thank you. I'm just going to go down and pay some respect. That's Brittany. Just like that. Michael. Dad, you going where? I'm going to the funeral. Why? What do you mean, why? He's my... Well, did he ever claim to be your daddy? No. Then why are you going? I don't understand. He never claimed you as a son. So why would you go somewhere with somebody who never claimed you? I said, boy, tone it down a little bit here. So he getting all in my grip. Tone it down. Well, I don't understand. You got to explain that to me. So we talked through it, and we got to talk through it. I thought he had it. I still don't understand. I said, well, Michael, my relationship with God is my relationship with God. I'm going to go pay respect because no matter what he did in his relationship with God, I just want to do right in my relationship with God. Yeah, you better man than me. Well, yeah, I am right now. Because you ain't a man, first of all, but yeah, I am. He was in his teens. I mean, you start paying your own bills, got my house, I call you a man. Right now, you're a young teenager. I understand. But we had a good talk about it. But we laughing now. Michael wouldn't laugh. Mike started crying on me. He didn't understand why I would go. And he's supposed to be my granddad, so he ain't never done nothing for us. And we said a lot more words that we can't repeat up in here. It's just got too heated and hot. So we just calmed down. And I said, we're going to go, and I'm going to go. And I went. And in that situation, I was glad I left my kids home. Because it was not what that you would think a funeral would be. It was just what I thought it would be. I walk up. I'm 29 at the time. I think I'm 29 last time I saw him. So I'm in my 30s, late 30s. No, 40s. 40s. And my wife and I walk up, and the guy, I just saw them 10 years ago. You know the words he used with me? He said, I was wondering what that boy was going to be here today. At my father's funeral, he called me a boy in front of everybody. I wondered if that boy was going to be here today. All because they thought I wanted something from them. They were wealthy and I was poor. Still poor, matter of fact, but I'm okay. I'm rich with God. And I got what I need. Hallelujah. I had to learn. So I walked away and it got emotional for me. I had Dan and Veronica. It got so emotional, my feelings got hurt. Then I met his wife. She said, well, I'm sorry. We want y'all to come on over and spend some time. And we got to stop meeting like this. And I mean, it's thousands of people there. He was involved. He's a coach. He's involved in a lot of stuff. It was packed. They had to use a gym, packed stadium in Florida all. So I began to walk out. And my wife said, I think we need to go home. I said, why do we need to go home? She said, because I think it's going to get ugly when they get back. I don't think this is good. They didn't know you was coming. And I could tell how they talked to you since you've been here, Mark. It's going to get ugly. And the question is, how are you going to handle it? So my advice to you, I think we need to get in the car and go home. You've seen it. We've been at the funeral. Because what you do after the funeral, you get back together and eat. What do you call that thing? Bypass. She said, repass. She said, I don't think we need to be going to no repass. Now, in my pride, I'm going to repass. And let's get it on. I wish one of them would say something to me. She said, that's my point. There you go. That's why we need to go. She said, that's it, right there. So she looked over there and she started double-teaming me. She already had Veronica on her side, so I ain't gonna mess with Veronica. So I looked at Dan and was like, okay, Dan, what you think? Like, brother, I'm just telling you, man, I think your wife got a point. He said, I ain't trying to take nobody's side, but if you just listen, I think your wife has a point. So we came home. That was a trying time for me. Why I share that with you? I had to really look at my own personal relationship with God to make sure I'm not bitter in my heart and angry for the way I was treated. I remember Dr. Martin Wooten telling me, you would be a better father because of the way you've been treating if you just fall in love with God. And God would teach you how to be the father you need to be. You didn't need your father to teach you that. Your real father will teach it to you. Martin telling me that, I'm like, he caught up with me. I'm just emotional. He said, Mark, but you got God. Is he not your father? So that's my question for you. Is not God your father? In spite of all that's going on all around you, you have your father. Is he not your father? Is he not your dad? I know somebody, we're not close to some of our dads here on earth. I know some things goes on, might not be as close to our mother, but you have a dad. You have a father that's the father of all fathers. How's your relationship with him? Because if your relationship with him is where it needs to be, you can handle all this mess. You really can. You know, I became a Christian. I decided to plant a church because I love God, not because I want people to like me. People are going to come and go just like they did with Jesus. Remember after they cut off Jesus' ear, Peter cut off somebody's ear, not Jesus' ear. Peter cut off one of the soldiers' ear, and after that, remember they all deserted Jesus. Did Jesus change his mind about dying for us on the cross? Why didn't he change his mind? He had a relationship with God. It was all about God and not about you. And that helped him push through. He knew dying for you is going to save you, but that is what the Father wanted him to do. You know, I know people, as long as we have a church, people going to come and go. And I have people say, man, everybody gone. I looked around, wait a minute, I'm still here. What do you mean everybody gone? Everybody going where? People going to always come and go. Until Jesus come back, people going to come and go. The question is, how are you in your relationship with God? Did you become a Christian for people and want people to be here? Or you became a Christian because you love God? Am I preaching because I want a big church so I can be high and mighty, or am I preaching because I love God? When it's about God, it doesn't matter what people do. It must be about God. And that must be should be enough to sustain you, no matter what people do. How many times you heard me tell you that, hey, I love Vanita, but if she walks, she walks. I ain't going nowhere. Vanita loves me. If I walk, I walk. She's not going anywhere. Why? Because she loves God more than she loves me. And I love God more than I love her. That's the way it's supposed to be. We must get this, brothers and sisters. Are you with me? That was just my introduction. You see why it's going to be a series. It's about God. I want to look at Jacob's life with God, David's life with God, Jesus' life with God, their relationship with God, their connection to God. I pray that each one of them can teach us how to stay and be connected to God. Amen. That I pray that we can learn something, just something, that will draw us closer to God. Amen. I want to start with Jacob, who was the twin brother to Esau, son of Isaac and Rebecca, the youngest twin. Jacob, he secured the birthright from his older brother and twin Esau by giving him a bowl of soup. Wow. Jacob was a mess. Yeah. He got his father's blessing through fraud. The little fake rascal, lying rascal. But Jacob repented. He fled to Haran, and on the way had a vision of ladder. Jacob served Laban for many years and also married his daughter, Leah and Rachel. Had 12 sons. Can't imagine, 12 sons. And a daughter by his wives and their maids. He fled from Laban and wrestled with an angel of the Lord at Peniel, which means face of God. Friendship with Esau, his twin brother, restored when God sent him back home. Then he went to Egypt and died. He left Egypt because of famine and went there and died. Now that's just a small, it's a lot more to Jacob than that, but that's just a small lesson so you understand when I start talking about Jacob, who he is and what happened. Jacob went through a lot. But I want to look at Jacob's, all he went through. I want to talk about his relationship with God. And I want you to say, here's a guy they said that wrestled with God. And I want to talk about what does that mean. And have you ever wrestled with God? And I really want us to really open wide our hearts and be willing to learn some things from Jacob and his relationship with God. Though we're not perfect, as you heard me read, a lot of deceit there. But the man came back to God and repented, and God used him in a great way. Look at Genesis chapter 32. We're going to start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 1. Talking about Jacob. Verse 1. Jacob also went on. This is Jacob prepares to meet his brother Esau. We're already in chapter 32, so he done gone through all the stuff I talked about. He done. Now he's going back to meet with Esau. He's scared to death because how he's treated Esau in the past and with the things that he's done. So he's not sure how his brother going to treat him. This is his twin brother. He don't know if his brother going to kill him, chop him up, and feed him to lions or what. He don't know what's going to happen. But he know God has sent him back to his homeland. And so he's going back to meet his brother. And this is where we pick up. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Whoa. Whoa, wait a minute now. Jacob also went on his way, and on going back, it says, and the angels, it didn't use say angel, it says angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is the camp of God. So he named that place Menahem. God sent angels to meet Jacob. Knowing Jacob going back to be with his brother, sent him back to his homeland, and Jacob scared to think his brother going to kill him. So what did God do? He sent some angels. What blows my mind is Jacob saw them. Now, I believe there's always angels around him. But, you know, in my life, I walked away going, man, I think that was an angel. You ever done that? Yeah. I think that was an angel. It would be pretty cool to walk in a place and go, oh, look at the angels of God over there. Oh, Sookie, come on now. I would love to see them and be able to walk up to them the way Jacob did. He saw angels. Angels God sent him. Let's read. I want to read Psalms. Hold your finger there. We're going to come back to that. Verse 34. 4 through 9. Hold your finger there. Psalms 34. Start at verse 4. Listen to what it says here. I sought the Lord and he answered me. I love that. He sought God and he answered. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. Though for those who fear him lack nothing. See, Jacob was fearing God. He was obeying God and going back to his homeland. And what did God do for him? He sent him some angels to comfort him through his troubles. Brothers and sisters, when we fear God, God, the Bible said, will comfort us. We fear God. God said he would deliver us. We fear God. God said he would bring us through our troubles and our trials and tribulation. God will. But we must have a fear of God. Ultimate respect about who God is. Do you fear God? If so, God said that you will lack nothing. Brothers and sisters, I say this in a loving way. You can't fear God and be late to church all the time. You can't fear God and be missing Bible talk. There's a lack of fear for God. It's a lack of respect. It's a lack of awe who God is. You can't fear God and you don't even read your Bibles. You can't fear God and you hardly pray to him. The only time you pray with somebody else. You have no relationship on your own. It is very important that you develop a relationship on your own so that through your trials and tribulation, you see God, he brings you through. Amen. See, you got to have a relationship on your own so when God brings you through, you know who to give the glory to. It's not you, it's God. And you can't be in a situation when you come through somebody, something, and you go, man, thank you. Boy, I'm glad I had you. Now, we could be a blessing to one another. But even if we're a blessing to one another, God put him in your life to be that blessing. You got to always give God praise first in every situation, in every circumstance. Now, I'm glad I said a turn 16. But she better be thanking God she turned 16. She didn't turn 16 because her mama let her turn 16. Mama had nothing to do with you turning 16. God did. He chose to let you live till you're 16. Just as God chose to let you live till you're 16, God can take you out today if he chooses to. And that's why we got to be in awe of God. That's why it's very important for us to even teach our kids how to respect God. To know who he is and his power. It is vital that we teach our kids. You know, I'm all for, that was a beautiful party last night for Isetta. But I mean, how many times you throw a beautiful party for God? That you just do this as a sacrifice just for God. When last time you threw a party in your heart for God? When last time you said, man, I'm not even going to sleep tonight because I'm just going to stay up and be with my God. But you stayed up to watch a movie. You stayed up to have a party. You stayed up to have girl talk or boy, a talk with a brother. But what about you stand up to have a talk with God? When last time you just stayed up and just talked to God? Say, God, I need you. I'm in trouble. I'm stressed. Please take this away from me. When last time you've done something like that? It's vital that we grow in our fear of God. Amen. That when we come to worship, we got to put in practice our fear of God. Amen. That when we start singing, we're worshiping. That's not the time to do all kind of talk to each other. Go get more coffee. The worship has started. Amen. It is vital that we learn how to pay God respect in awe. That's right. We must get this on right. If we don't, you're not going to make it. If you keep treating God with disrespect, soon later you're going to walk. But know this, and by as loving as I can say this to you, you can choose to do whatever you want to do, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. But each one of us need to have that conviction. Amen. That for me and my house, oh, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We're going to respect him. We're going to be in awe of him. Amen. Does his words make you tremble when you read them? When you pray, does it bring you to tears? Because you know who he is. When you start talking, I can't even talk about certain situations, or I just start crying because I know what God has done for me. Does that happen for you? Or your life is surrounded with other things instead of God, and that's what fulfills you. So what happened when them other things disappear? You would disappear. It is vital. I've been preaching for 30 years, 30 plus years now going on. I've been blessed to be in a lot of churches, from going overseas in those churches, from California to Florida to Texas. I'm here to tell you, God's the same here, there, and everywhere. Amen. You know what else I've learned? People are the same here, there, and everywhere. They might speak a different language, and they might say it a different way, but our hearts are still no good. No matter what language they speak, we're still rotten in our hearts. And all of us need God. It seems though, I've seen in my life, and I don't know how true this is. One day I hope to ask God about this. It seems that a poor person is, like when you go to a third world country, they seem to be more in awe of God. They seem to be more joyful for what little they have. It seems that how rich a person is, they seem to not want God or need God as much. Now, that's not everybody. That's just the way it seems to me. I pray God don't have to make you poor for you to respect who he is. That he don't have to take away the things he's given you before you drop your knees and say, surely you are God. That no matter where you are financially or where you at in your life, you drop your knees and say, surely I have this because God. Look at Psalms chapter 91, verse 61. 91 verse 1. Listen what it says here. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Look at God want to protect us. But you got to fear him. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. God said, you're not going to be afraid of nothing. Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you, says God. It will not come near you if you fear him and trust him. Nothing can hinder you. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your feet, your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Amen. Remember what he did for Jacob? He sent him angels. Yes, I sent you back to your brother. Yes, I told you to go back to him. Now look who's going before you. Angels. Your brother shall do nothing to you. When we fear God, God sent angels to protect us. Brothers and sisters, do you read and see what I'm reading? Verse 8, you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord is my refuge, if you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. Oh my God. No disaster will come near your tent. Oh my Lord. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands. You better believe I'm going to be reading this at the singers' retreat at my message on Sunday. More than conquerors. Look what God said he'll do for us. He will send his angels to protect you and lift you up. There, you don't have a father like this. Only God does this. No father on earth can do this. So you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion, and listen to this, and the cobra. When I read that, that fired me up. That snake. It said, I'm going to read again. You will tread on the lion in the cobra. You will trample the great lion in the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Here we go. Because he says he what?
Loves me.
And because he says you do what?
Love
him. He will do what for you?
Rescue
you. Do you love God? God said, if you love me, I will rescue you. No cobra, no lion can touch you. He said, they can send 10,000 people towards you, and they won't even come near your tent. They can try to destroy you, and they won't make it. God says, if you love me. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him from the knowledge, for he knowledge acknowledges my name. Do you acknowledge God's name? Or you only do that when it's convenient? See, I know I said I had a lot of friends there last night, but do they all know you're a Christian? See, that's the real question. Do they see you living like a Christian? And you know what? When you have friends, if you see your friends doing something wrong, you don't do what they do. They do what you do as a Christian. That's the real deal. Because that's how you acknowledge God. But if your friends are acting a fool, then you sit there ain't saying nothing, you are not acknowledging God. You got to be willing to acknowledge God. Even at our workplaces. People cursing and acting a fool around you, you don't have to get involved with that. You can, I don't do that. Sometimes we're uncomfortable doing that because we're afraid how they might look at us and how they treat us. Then that would be not acknowledging God. It's important that we don't be like them. They're supposed to be like us. They don't have what you have. But God says you must acknowledge me. Do you acknowledge God in your life? He will call on me and I will answer him, says the Lord. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God said, I will honor you with long life. I will satisfy him, and show him my salvation. My God. Go back to Jacob. Go back to Genesis. See, now you got to understand, when Jacob looked up and saw angels, he was then acknowledging God. And God sent him angels to protect him in his time of stress. Do you fear God? If so, God said that you will lack nothing. Jacob feared God, and God sent him angels to comfort him. Do you acknowledge God's name? If so, he said, I will protect you. This is what God says. You want to know how to have a relationship with God? Well, this is what it takes. You got to acknowledge him. You got to have godly fear and respect for him. And it starts with simple things like reading your Bible, praying, standing up for Jesus, standing up for what's right, not doing what other people do, but you lead spiritually, being the best example. You must be this way. That's your decision. You've got to come to this conviction. You can do this if you want to. Let's go back, Jacob. Genesis chapter 32, verse 3. Jacob sent his message ahead of him to his brother Esau, who was coming to meet him, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, this is what you are to say to my lord, Esau. Your servant Jacob says, I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. Now I am sending this message to my lord that I may find favor in your eyes. He's trying to woo his brother over here. I know I messed up, so please accept this stuff. When the message returned to Jacob, they said, we went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. Okay, that part, that freaked him out there now. Okay, my brother's coming to meet me. He ain't coming with his wife and kids and coming to hang out like we're going to have a reunion, good time. He said, no. He said, your brother bringing 400 men. He bringing 400 soldiers. He's like, oh, my God. He's going to wipe me out. He's still mad at me. He's going to kill me. Let's read on. In verse 7, in great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He freaked out. My brother's going to kill me. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. And then Jacob came to his senses and did what? Then Jacob prayed. He came to his senses. Let me go to my God and pray. Now listen to what he says to God. Oh God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me. Check this joke out, man. He's going to remind God what God said to him. You who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. He's like, oh God, remember what you told me now. You told me to go back to Esau and that you was going to make me prosper. And now Esau bringing 400 men. So I'm trying to divide everybody up because I don't want them to kill us all. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed the Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. For I am afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Jacob said, God, I just want to remind you something. You told me that you wouldn't even be able to count my family. I just want to make sure that this is real. In verse 13, he spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau. 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls and 20 female donkeys and 2 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds. He's breaking this junk down, boy. He instructed the one in the lead, when my brother Esau meets you and asks, who do you belong to and where are you going, and whom owns all these animals in front of you? Then you are to say, they belong to your servant, Jacob. He didn't say they belong to your brother, Jacob. He used the word servant. They are a gift sent to my lord, Esau. He didn't say my brother Esau, my lord Esau. And he is coming behind us. He also instructed the second, the third, and all the others who followed the herds. You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. He said, and remember of all the words, use the word servant. Don't you forget to use that word. That I'm bowing down to you, Esau. You are my, I'm your servant. Have mercy. You see what he's doing? Boy, Jacob, I told Jacob something else. Where was I? The man asked him. Verse 20. And be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he thought, I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. Later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me. You know, when I read that word pacify, I said, that must mean punk or something. I thought, it just seems strange to me. You're going to pacify your brother. I thought, that's a weird way. What, you're going to pacify him? So I went into the Bible dictionary to look at what pacify mean. Let me tell you what pacify mean. He said, pacify means calm. I'm going to calm him by giving him these gifts. It means non-threat. It means at ease. I'm going to put my brother at ease. Be a non-threat. Calm him. You know, that'd be like today, in this time, that'd be like, you know, I've mistreated. You know, where's Nasir? I mistreated Nasir and my brother. And then Nasir, you know, I've been blessed with a lot of things. And I'm going home, and I want Nasir to accept me. So I'm going to send Nasir a Bentley. I'm going to send him a new home, huge, and all kind of looking. Nasir, yeah, I take that Bentley. I take Bentley. I'm going to send him a 18,000 square foot home. People going to clean your house. And by the way, let me put a couple million in the bank for you. And you know, I'm going to give you all these things. Because when you meet up with me, I want you to just go, oh, my brother. I'm going to pacify you, my brother. Because, you know, I treated you bad. I stole your blessings. The reason you ain't got as much as you got because I stole some of it. I lied to you. I even cheated you. I was daddy. But, you know, I'm going to pacify you now. That's what he's doing. Yeah. He's sending all that stuff to him like, oh, my. I'm going to try to calm him down. I don't want him to be angry and mad when he sees me. Let's look at verse 22. Look at verse 21. So Jacob gifts went ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. In verse 22, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Let's keep reading. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Now, I know somebody wrestling here. Who wrestles in here? Nasir. You know, let me define the word wrestle. I had to look up Webster on this, Nasir. Tell me if I'm right. Wrestle means hand to hand. He said, I got it right. He went hand to hand. With whom? Well, let's see. He says a man at first, right? He says a man at first. In verse 20, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. And Peniel means face of God. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Jacob wrestled hand-to-hand combat with God. My question with you, brothers and sisters, have you ever wrestled with God? Have you wrestled at night about where you are spiritually and say, my God, I want things to change? And you kept calling on God until it changed. You got to see Jacob wrestled until things changed. In fact, he wouldn't even let go. He would not let go. You know, we got to stop struggling through life and then ready to throw the towel in. We got to fight for our walk with God, especially when things don't even make sense. We got to come to convictions and fight. Each one of us in our fight with God got to be based on where we are with God, not where somebody else at. And guys, we got to stop trying to fight other people's battles and fight your own battle. Your own battle with God. You must, the way you help others, that you are standing firm with God. If you're not standing firm with God, you cannot help others. You're going to lead them astray. You'll lead them astray in many ways. With their gossip and slander, you won't say nothing, because your walk with God is not where it needs to be. You know, God has blessed me a lot through my life, but I tell you what, I was very encouraged over the year, this year. Someone came and said to me something about Jamie. I never even told Jamie this. They said something to me about Jamie, and they had a problem with him singing, and they had issues. You just need to know, when I got through dealing with their issues, they went to the door. I didn't tell them to go to the door, but I did tell them this: you deal with you and let God deal with Jamie. I know what Jamie's doing, and I know what you're doing. Deal with you. Pull that plank out your own eye, and you'll see the speck of the sawdust in your brother's eye. As long as I'm a minister here and God's chosen me, you deal with you. Don't ever come to me to talk about somebody else when you're not dealing with you. And we've got to get across the board. That person left, I've never seen them again. I didn't tell them to leave. They chose to leave. That's their choice. We're free will. But we're going to be a free will, godly, standing church. I'm not going to tolerate gossip and slander and talk. What reason I never took that to Jamie? Because I knew the truth of what he was talking about. It was gossip. So I didn't have to take it to Jamie. I already knew the truth. It was a lie. So you got to stop living, following lies. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, all liars and cowards go to hell. So I had to tell man, stop lying. Stop repeating something that's not the truth. And we get in the habit of doing that. And you won't believe, my wife and I, over the last few months, we hear more lies than lies mama. It's been like Satan himself, just lie after lie after lie. Good Lord. I should say more lies than the father of lies, Satan. Just lie after lie after lie. What is exaggerated truth? They've told the story so many times that they've gotten away from the truth. Man, enough is enough. Don't get caught up in that. Stay with God. Stay with the Lord. Don't let Satan take you down the wrong path. Go wrestle with God. Wrestle with God. Ask God to remove it. You know, I'm excited about our football team getting ready to go down to the Playmakers Bowl next week. But I told them, you know, of course I want to win. I told y'all last week I want to win. But what's most important to me is that people see these men and say, man, where do they worship? Where are those? Now, those are men of God. I want to go where they go. That's what's supposed to be done. You know, and after the Playmakers Bowl, I pray that people come, you guys come back strong spiritually and doing well. But the truth of the matter is, that's not going to be everybody. That's just the truth. Some may fade away, some may stay. But whatever they choose to do, we're going to keep worshiping the Lord. Because it's not going to be based on what others do. You got to make sure you understand your walk with God has nothing to do with the person next to you. It's between you and God. What did Jacob do? He wrestled with God. He didn't go, hey, family, hey, I need y'all help. Y'all come here, man. Hey, listen. Everybody put it together, because my brother Esau, I think he's going to kill us. So everybody line up first. I need everybody to die before me. You go here. Okay, here's another line. Here's another line. All y'all line up. No, he didn't do that. He first gave him a lot of stuff, tried to pacify him. Then he sent people across the water, and then he went and got with God. And he reminded God, now, God, you told me that I'm going to prosper. That great thing's going to happen. So after he wrestled with God, when the guy asked what his name was, what did the angel of God tell him? You're going to be called Israel. In other words, you're going to prosper. Look what God's done through his struggle. This needs to happen in our lives, brothers and sisters. Do you wrestle with God this way? Have you ever wrestled in prayer with God? We must do this many times over in our lifetime to have a relationship with God. Do you wrestle in prayer? Do you wrestle reading your Bible? Do you struggle? I'm trying to understand what I'm reading. And you put everything you got into it because you really want to understand what you're reading. You have deep conviction about what you're reading, and so you're going after it. You study out. You look at definitions. You read and read and read some more because you're wrestling your relationship with God. Is this your heart? When times are troubling you, you go to God. And you're challenged by what's before you. Look at what Jacob did. He went to God because he was troubled. And he was reminding God what he promised him. Is this your heart? Jacob got his blessing from the angel of God. He got everything. Let me read it to you as we begin to close on just Jacob's relationship with God. Look at verse 1 of chapter 33. Jacob looked up and there was Esau. Well, it's showtime. There he is. It's showtime, baby. Coming with his 400 men. They got to interact. Bible had to say it again. We're all 400 of his men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front of Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead. He put them in the rear. He said he himself and Joseph, they're in the rear, right? David got that one. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. He didn't bow down 1 time. He didn't bow down 2 times. How many times did he bow down? 7. To who? Man, I'm your servant, man. Make sure you understand that. I know I've done wrong, but I'm your servant. I'm yours. He put the female servants. Wait a minute, in verse 4. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Whoa. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. Who are these with you? He asked. Jacob answered, they are the children God has graciously given your servant. Then the female servants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, what's the meaning of all this? Flocks and herds I met. To find favor in your eyes, my lord, he asked. But Esau said, I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Whoa! No! Please, said Jacob. If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to this, your face is like seeing the face of God. He was refreshed. He saw that my brother has forgiven me. My God has told me the truth. And through prayer and wrestling with God, my brother has embraced me. Amen. Only through God. Only through God can something like this happen. Only through God. Remember, he went and prayed all night. He wrestled all night, asking God for his help, asking God for his guidance, asking God for his strength. He was humbled and broken before the Lord. And then his brother embraced him. He was so encouraged by his brother's embracement. He said his face was like who? I can't hear you, church. His face was like who? The face of God. How inspiring. His brother embraced him so well, he thought he was looking at God. That's because God put an angel in him. His spirit was speaking. You're mine. I have forgiven you. And they wept. Wept. I bet you Jacob, you know, the Bible don't tell everything. I bet Jacob went off and wept with God too. Just wept out of humility and thankfulness and gratitude. When had last time you wept in prayer? When last time you wept with a brother praying about God? Or a sister praying about God and all the things he's done for you? We weep and cry about many things, but do we weep and cry about God? Do we humble ourselves like that before God? Do we? You know, there's a lot of things in this on this earth Satan has done to help you find motivation, to help inspire you. Satan has done, he's put money, jobs, career. He's given us things that can put us off track. Satan has mastered it. And that we'll put all our energy, thoughts, and our life into. And it's empty. It's not fulfilling. I pray that we learn how to put that kind of energy in our relationship with God. This is very important. You know, I appreciate, I said a birthday party, 16th party last night. You know, but it amazes me how that we don't throw celebration about our spiritual parties, that we're standing another day with God. I don't hear people doing that. That's more important than anything else in our life. Now, it's nothing about wrong celebrating birthday, but I'm amazed how our society and our world, and even in the church, we don't celebrate our spiritual walk. Yeah. That God, we're standing another day. Yeah. We're standing another year. Mm-hmm. Celebrate that I'm with you and I'm still with you. Amen. And I'm not going anywhere. Amen. We've got to decide, brothers and sisters, what's important in our lives? What's most important in our life? Is it our jobs? Is it our schools? Is it our degrees? Is it our money, our cars? Or is it our birthday? Is it about you? Are you most important? Or is it God? Amen. I really want us to grow in our relationship with God. Amen. Look what Jacob, how God blessed Jacob. But you got to see what Jacob went through and all the stress and the life, and He had to trust God, rely on God. In closing, I want to look at Hosea chapter 12, verse 2 through 6. Turn there with me. Hosea chapter 12, verse 2. Listen to this. The Lord has a charge to bring against Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel. Talking about the same Jacob now. Grasped his brother's heel. As a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name, but you must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. In verse 4, he said he struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. See, when we read it at first, it didn't talk about Jacob crying out to God and weeping in prayer. See, but with the big picture, he wept, he cried out and wrestled with God for God's favor. God, please bless me favor. Oh God, give me strength. Oh God, protect me from my brother. Oh God, I acknowledge you, oh God. I was praying with Paul the other day. I shut the door, went in my room and tried to find some privacy. And we start praying about our mothers. And you start praying about your mama, you get emotion. And we prayed about our moms. And me and Paul had been, me and Paul had never done it before. We've been missing each other all week. We finally caught up with each other. And he said, I was humbled. He said, man, I told my mom I'd call her right back. I said, man, I feel honored. So we're going to have to get into praying so you can call your mama back. But you know what? Let's pray for our moms. I want to see our moms here on Mother's Day. I said, let's pray for that blessing, that miracle. And let's ask God to bless our moms. And boy, Paul started praying. And you know what? And Paul got me. Boy, I couldn't wait. He got my sweat, emotional, and blood. I started praying after Paul. We just praying and calling on God for his blessings, for our mothers. Oh, God, bless our moms. Protect them. Keep them strong. Get them here for Mother's Day. Man, I forgot if there's anybody else on earth but me and Paul. I remember we got through praying. I put the phone down and went out, and a couple hours went by, and I just happened to mention something to Michael. And I went to my son. I said, son, I said, early today, me and Paul, we was praying for your grandmother. He said, I know, Dad, I heard you. I forgot they were home. They're out in the living room watching TV. I'm in the back room calling on God to be with our mothers. And he said he heard us. I promise you, we had to hear Paul too through the phone. We're calling on God. Brother and sister, I say this to you. You must cry out to God. Weep for your own relationship with God the way Jacob did. Weep and ask God for blessings and favor. Weep. 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 And call on God. Weep and ask for favor from God and watch what my God do in your life. That was my first point, Jacob. I'll do point two next week, and that's going to be David. Don't miss it. See David's life, how his relationship with God is. I want to pray. I'm going to ask Paul, come pray for us. If you can't get on your knees, don't get on your knees. Just sit there. It's okay. But let's close out my message with a prayer and then give God his glory and praise. Amen. Thank you, Paul. You can use that one or that one. Bring it up. Yeah, use that and bring it up here.
Father God, we thank you so much for this day, Father. We thank you for the lesson that was brought to us by Jacob, Father. Father, give us the heart to just wrestle with you, Father, our blessings, Father. Father, when we feel like we can't just go on, Father, when we feel like things are so hard in our life, Father. Father, when we're praying for our kids, Father. Father, let us just wrestle with you all night long so you can bless them, Father. Father, let our kids know that we're as parents, always on our knees for them, Father. Father, for we want the best for them. Father, when they go out of the house every day, we pray for them, Father. Father, we just want them to know that we love them, Father. Father, I just thank you for the relationship, Father, that we all have together today, Father. Father, thank you so much for the lesson again, Father, that was brought to us about Jacob. And we can't wait to hear the lesson about David next week, Father, if you delay your coming. Father, just bless someone in here today, Father, that just needed to hear this word today, Father. Father, someone that felt like they just on the end and can't make it any further, Father. Father, ones that stay up at night that just feel like they can't sleep because they worried about tomorrow, Father. Father, just let them have encouragement, Father, to wrestle with you all night long, Father. Father, thank you so much today. Just bless every disciple, Father. Father, bless everyone that know you and bless everyone that don't know you, Father. Father, just bless our parents, Father, our mothers, our fathers. Bless our kids. Kids, pray for your parents. Yes, Father, we all need you, Father. And I just thank you so much for this lesson today again, Father, in your son Jesus Christ's name. Amen.